evening, ladies and gentlemen, to another issue of our podcast on contemporary topics in nature conservation and political ecology. Our topic of today is about an interesting paper that has been published recently. It is a paper entitled Biodiversity Offsetting, Clearing Up Misunderstandings Between Conservation and Economics to Take Further Action. It was written by a scholar named Anne Charlotte Vissier. In summary, Vissier's paper examines the biodiversity offsetting concept for its actual sustainability from the point of view of the commercialization of nature. Now, we have just heard an interesting term that is currently being used a lot. First of all, for our listeners, briefly and simply explained, what is biodiversity offsetting? In order to conserve nature, there is a concept called biodiversity offsetting. These are measures to conserve and promote biodiversity in one location while simultaneously destroying it in another. It's a kind of a compensation mechanism for destroyed nature where landowners receive financial funds for certain types of promotion of biodiversity. Therefore, the topic is getting more and more attention by politics, but also by academics and civil society organizations. Biodiversity offsetting is carried out both at a national level but also internationally. In one location, nature is being destroyed and then reconstructed and fostered elsewhere. The idea is to enable international cooperation between actors, which is why the corresponding market and international legal frameworks have been created for this purpose. Now, in her paper, Vissier outlines that there is a lot of criticism regarding this concept. Above all, critics say that nature is being commercialized and, to a certain extent, receives a factor of exchangeability. On the one hand, we see a purely economic approach, namely that nature, despite all its diversity and uniqueness, can have a payable price. This price is based on the market laws of supply and demand in the form of credits, the so-called carbon credits. A project developer could then go and buy carbon credits from an environmental stakeholder for his project, which is to be implemented at the expense of the environment. Ideally, a perfect balance should be created here, a net loss target, so to speak. Which brings us to the ecological side. On this side are the environmentalists and local landowners who offer environmental services, nature rebuilding as a kind of service. The theory sounds good at first, but we do see some problems in the implementation. Vissier examines the potential for conflict between the parties involved, including the environmental actors such as environmentalists or small farmers with land ownership, as well as the economic actors such as project developers who, for example, want to build a road through a forest. Vissier now claims that biodiversity offsetting goes hand in hand with a certain acceptance of the commodification of nature. However, she describes the criticism that nature is hereby privatized as a conceptual misunderstanding. Much more approaches shall be formulated that combine ecology, economics, and socio-political aspects, for example, by greater involvement of natural science in the processes as scholars in this area deal with these aspects. The scholar recognizes the limitations of biodiversity offsetting implementation, but believes that some of the most common criticisms are inappropriate and undesirably influence scientific debates. Mainly, she criticizes the misuse of economic logics or tools in the field of nature conservation. To be more precise, Vissier says that an analysis of these economic aspects on which biodiversity builds, offsetting is not analyzed accurately through the ecological lens. In simpler terms, the opinion of environmentalists on the economic management of this concept is inadequate because of a lack of knowledge about the underlying theories. The same applies, of course, to the economic actors who try to look at the concept through the ecological lens. In her paper, she examines whether the approach of biodiversity offsetting is actually sustainable in reality. She calls this strong or weak sustainability, which refers to the effects of humans on nature. Weak sustainability is therefore only an equivalent construction of nature, whereas strong sustainability would be the optimal state, an identical substitution of nature, so to speak. Humans derive a social benefit from nature. Likewise, we may derive benefits from economic growth. Economically speaking, one could now contrast these two benefits for society as a whole and calculate which benefits outweigh. This is called utilitarianism. Overall, it can be seen as a welfare gain for society. Two famous economists named Calder and Hicks invented this economic principle. To put it simpler, this means that by cutting down the forest, the road builder irreparably destroys nature, causing social costs, but also generates benefits from the use of the new road. When compared, costs and profits will compensate you and eventually add economic value to society, so that material gain will replace biodiversity, as sad as that may sound to environmentalists. Since the 1970s, we have learned about the concepts of biodiversity compensation, which have built the theoretical framework around the concept of strong sustainability. The different forms of capital are here not substitutable, and it is no longer acceptable to replace ecological capital with economic capital. Seen from this perspective, biodiversity offsets thus represent a specific type of compensation that pursues a strong sustainability principle. Thus, the framework for the offset concept was born. But we must note that the exact conditions of substitutability, the decision rules, and the spatial and temporal dynamics in this framework must be even more precisely coordinated in order to avoid conflicts. Vaissière calls biodiversity offsetting a positive contribution to the preservation of nature. If one hectare is destroyed, this hectare should be set up elsewhere. What is missing are more specific definitions of interchangeable species and habitats in order to ensure a more efficient construction of nature and thus a strong sustainability, which also leads to higher social justice. In addition, the laws and control mechanisms must be designed so that temporal durability can be ensured. Imagine it like this. The road that was built on the forest corridor will stand there maybe for decades or even centuries. Nature, which should compensate for this, is subject to the risk of destruction, which would then mean a negative balance in the long term. Vaissière found out that such legal instruments already exist in the US, for example, but in other countries, such a rule even contradicts the existing law. Now, one may see biodiversity balance as a commodity, but others say that not the restored habitat itself, but the service of providing an ecological structure is offered. From this point of view, commodification in this area would not exist because, strictly speaking, no goods are created. Yet, others still accept a broader definition of commodification, where biodiversity offsetting is simply seen as a process of making things interchangeable. From this second point of view, the principle of biodiversity offsetting can be considered as a commodification process. Vaissière argues that, if implemented correctly, this concept, despite the commodification process, would not lead to the commercialization of biodiversity nor its privatization, but to actual strong sustainability. The criticisms around the ecological feasibility of mediation are, according to Vaissière, the issues we need to address. She believes that the concept of biodiversity offsets should encompass economic, social, and environmental aspects. In particular, scientists from different fields, local populations, and other stakeholders need to be more involved in the discussions. A big thank you to our listeners on today's podcast. Switch back on next week to our podcast on exciting topics around nature conservation.